able to explain things to his kids. Yeah. So if he had explained that to Jody and Jacob at any given point, and this was the fourth time he had said this stuff.
You're right. Maybe I didn't even think of that. Maybe that was one of his lessons.
Because I can't imagine he would. I felt like he was taking me in to but be in the in-group. Like, Daniel, you want to see the bees? So, you know, the bees do like that. You think he wouldn't have told Jacob this? Well, you see what I'm saying?
Especially, especially if Jacob had asked.
I'm sure his
son. And maybe even if he didn't ask, maybe that was a sign.
Exactly.
But the garden thing, I don't know. I kind of feel, well, again, my guess is just Whitfield, we would have super flooded the Whitfield. I mean, you know, we went to the market there several times, and I think the people, well, you know, where's that? You went, right? You went to the market.
Yeah, Zach was would that be like deflating to have like your level of stuff? And
well,
and
it,
do you
it's
think
not
that,
the
do you think
level.
There would be enough people that would.
I definitely think they had a high level of produce. It's just the volume that we had. There's no way. I don't think there have been enough customers.
That's what I mean.
For
like,
to sell
like
our
if
volume.
if you didn't have enough customers to sell your volume, would that then quickly result in you not making the volume, and then it just, you would just kind of not do it anymore? Yeah,
probably. I mean, the only way to sell all the volume would unless you could. You could sell to a, but see, even I don't think there's any way I would have ever sold to Walmart. You know, they get their stuff delivered from their warehouse. Well, even a local grocery store probably wouldn't buy from you.
Would you feel that like you got to the amount of beds you had and the amount you were bringing because the demand for it was always above what you had, so you kept pushing to you were able to meet it?
I would say this, so.
Because it seemed like you were working at a level that was almost the very most that you could get done and then still find ways to get more done. It wasn't a casual amount.
Which I guess surprises me about Walter. But definitely, Walter with Farmhouse Tomatoes in no way sold his capacity at the market. I mean, he sold a lot of tomatoes at the market. But of what he was producing, again, he was doing gift boxes. For a time, there was these Publix. I think at some point he stopped doing Publix, but they had gift boxes. I don't recall where all his tomatoes went. And well, as I said before, I think it was actually mostly the culls that he sold at the market. But I think the way we ended up doing it. I mean, I'm trying to think. Was there any crop that we just always ran out of that potentially I could have just if I could have like maybe beets. There were a while that
it was something.
The beets sometimes. If the right customers came,
for sure,
if the right customers came, sometimes we'd sell out of beets in
wasn't arugula
really quick.
Also, or did you always sell?
Well,
a
we
few
did.
Left?
We did good with arugula. We always did good with spinach. We did good with kale.
Because remember, we had to sell. You have to come
maybe,
early.
Yeah,
for
sure.
For
sure.
It was more than one thing.
Well, definitely there was some things that I did run out of, but it was more because I just had difficulty growing them. I think. So the way we dealt with the space we had. In other words, if I would have had twice the space, if I would have been able to double my production, I honestly think the only way I could have sold it would be to just go to more markets.
Yeah.
Because we basically kind of maxed out at West Palm and Stewart, and that last year we even tended to always have stuff that just weren't sold.
You tried PGA, but I wasn't a good salesman. I just
so
sat there drawing.
Well,
so.
The other thing was is
it probably could have taken.
So
it.
Ideally, if there would have been like Walter. Just tomatoes, and I think sometimes he had onions maybe that I don't think he grew for sure. So ideally, if there would have been a huge demand, that's a small space in reality. There's a possibility we could have been like Walter, grow one crop, and just consistently sell out. So then I don't have to grow all these 30 some crops. So the way we kind of end up doing that, that's a reason to add another crop because I have the space for it. And I kind of maxed out on kind of crop by crop by crop. We maxed out, so then we just grow a different crop or a new crop.
Yeah.
So we started out with radishes, beans, snow peas, bok choy. What else did we have early on? Do you remember, baby? Our first crops, when we were in Jupiter, we had radishes, snow peas, green beans, even carrots, and I stopped growing carrots. So then when we expanded, I kept adding new crops. because if I would have grown...
Did you have turnips?
Yeah, well, pretty early we had turnips. Turnips, I still remember Betsy Lamb, the...
yeah, I remember her, yeah.
So she got us on to Swiss chard. She got us on to that specific variety. Bright Light Swiss chard was her idea, because she had grown it for a class in mm-hmm. Fort Pierce. She got us on to that particular variety of turnips. And I don't think I would have ever grown turnips if it hadn't been for that one specific variety that she introduced me to. I got the seed. It was, as you know, crunchy, kind of sweet in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a distinctive turnip, a variety. And as you know, like, I think definitely several of the crops were just suggestions from the customers. I told you about the daikon. It was because Marie, Bob Fong and his wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That they had it, and now they're not at the market, and I guess one of their customers said, well, we used to get our daikon from the Fongs, and now they're not here, so I don't know if it was like, can you grow it, or maybe I realized, well, it might have just been me realizing, well, I know they sold daikon, and now they're not here, I'll just grow it myself. I don't know that actually that was a suggestion from a customer, but I thought, well, they were selling daikon, they're not here anymore, nobody else is selling, then I'll just start growing it myself. That's probably what it ended up being. So Betsy was definitely those two for sure, turnips and chard. Maybe that's the only two she was involved in.
But it seems like
every crop
has
a history on
Mache, and that
oh,
was
for
a big
sure,
deal for
yeah.
a while, wasn't it?
Mache was mainly because it was such a low-growing crop, and the weeds, it was hard to keep the weeds out of it. Plus, it didn't sell too well.
I mean, we were washing the spinach at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Because in 2000 something, I came back from mm-hmm. Idaho, and then I was doing it a lot. I remember
yeah,
some of that.
Washed the spinach, spun it, and bagged it. Yeah. The another crop. Well, several crops that we had for a short. The callaloo.
Yeah.
The which is actually a pigweed. Sold it for, we had a green callaloo and a red callaloo. We sold that for a while. The wrinkle cress, that's the really bitter. We sold that for a while. Again, that's another one that was low growing. It kind of was hard to keep the weeds out. So that's part of the reason. It was just dandelion. I started out with actually true weed dandelion. And then we went to Italian dandelion, which is actually an endive. It's not really a dandelion, but it kind of fit. It's also bitter. So
I assume this is from
kind of fits the same situation. But
customer request, right? Because it's so different.
The
they're not even like in the same species. They just have the same name.
The dandelion.
So if you were interested
even
in something
the dandelion
like that,
to start
you would
with,
probably have switched species. I mean, just have a different species
rather
than a whole other species.
I don't think the original dandelion was related to.
Isn't that some kind
just
of weird
preference.
Herb medicinal benefit thing?
Well, it's
like you eat
it's definitely
but it's
bitter.
Not considered like
no,
a staple food.
No, it's not a. It would be like a flavoring. You'd put it in a dish, I guess. I don't know. I really don't recall. But you know what? The report I wrote about Florida State Report, I'm quite sure. I think it. Actually, at the end, I just about have a Florida State Report about just about everything we grew. I never did write one on tomatoes. I don't think I ever included eggplant or squash, the butternut squash, but I think I wrote about just about every crop we grew.
Wow. How long are these papers? Was that like a lot of total papers? Like, would this add up to 180 pages or more?
Most of the...
Like 39 largest, or 50
I was
times kinda, 3 or something?
I definitely went into a lot of detail. And of course, the cool thing about writing the papers is I would kind of cut and paste because the growing situation is all the same pretty much for all of them. The fertilizer would be a little, even the fertilizer is not a whole lot different. So the irrigation, that setup is pretty much the same. The background, like the one paragraph background for Stevens Produce is the same. The main differences would be that actually the statistics, the amount grown, the area that was planted each week, the amount that was sold each week, the value of the crop, all of that would be different. But otherwise, a lot of the verbiage, the spraying, as you know, pretty much sprayed everything the same. The spraying would be the same. The pest problems would be different. In other words, the cabbage crops tend to have diamondback moth problems more. The collards, it's aphids and white flies, so that would be a little different. But it was not the hard. It was definitely not the hardest paper to write. It's not like I'm. Yeah, it's not like you like a true research paper where you have. Even my stuff with extension, you have a variety trial. The purpose is to determine, quote, the best variety, which is also very subjective. But you know, you do yield. Then you do the statistics. And as far as a grower choosing a variety, it's not all based on yield. They want, you know, the appearance has a lot to do with sellability. Yeah, yield is yield, but you still got to sell it. So you might have a high yielding variety, but if it just doesn't look good, you know, the customer's not going to go for it. Or maybe it's a big pepper, but it's soft. It's subject to bruising. Mm. Well, that's not good. So there's a lot of characteristics that the ideal is a four lobe pepper. What if you have a variety that always it's mostly has three lobes? Well, that's less, even though it might be a high yielding one. So a lot of factors. But for the garden reports, it's mostly just reporting how I did it, what I did, and no big conclusion. I think actually my conclusion was basically I would always end up the reports by saying that some was just anecdotal. Well, we usually all sold out, or sometimes, or this is a crop that we often didn't sell out of, and we actually, I mean, stopped growing. Because I definitely wrote the reports also on crops that we didn't grow, that we only grow for a short time. We didn't grow it anymore, and I would usually, you know, maybe even explain, and I would give some anecdotal. You know, this is a crop that our customers. Or maybe if I could even in my mind identify it was a crop that I'd have to go back and read the report this was actually the item that the customer came for, like the beans or this was their first choice, but they definitely came for this item. Or maybe I don't know, or maybe I would say the customers from, or it was a crop that customers, our European customers, would definitely go for. Or I don't remember all that.
Was that? Are you talking about the?
These are the Florida.
The radish. State. Is that a description from the radish? The things Europeans go for, or I mean, did you have other ones for Europeans?
I don't even remember.
Because you had that black radish for a while.
Yeah, we had
the
black radish,
like,
and I think
right?
I'm trying to say, did I write a report on that one? That might be another.
I mean, that
one
was a request.
That might have been one I did not write.
You didn't keep that long. It was like 2 or 3 years.
No, I didn't do it too long.
But it was good.
We definitely actually had quite a few crops that we didn't. We had the.
I thought that was super cool and fun because
we had
you just took something that we didn't have.
Yard long bean. We had that we trellised. The yard long bean. The I don't even remember what the yard long bean. And then for a little bit, I grew up. Mommy would know. I'd have to look at people. I grew two pole. Well, just pole beans. Yeah, pole beans. Yeah, regular just pole beans. And then the oriental, the yard long bean, we grew two there. We finally ended up stopped growing the yard long and continued to grow the pole bean. Because the yard long bean was more weather, it got to a point where it just didn't set fruit well, I think, at a certain period of time.
Were these anything similar to those colored, staple.
Well, then I had the October beans. That was the
papers that were at the South Florida Fair, given out by one of the agents. Like when
I
asked
you
about,
yeah, I have I have them all. I mean, so
you know what I mean. Like when I asked about papaya, and then you gave me something from the Horticulture Society or Research Station or something. It was some kind of like little official pamphlet for inquiries from the general public. That had information about, I don't know if it's increased in general, but it was
so
like just a basic.
Yeah, I think that's
a bunch
just
of stuff
that's
about
probably
papaya.
An extension bulletin. Yeah, that would
be
those
things.
That would be from the state.
Was your thing like that?
Not really. Well, probably just as specific. Well, again, it wasn't. It was not. It was still not a how-to. I mean, it was not a article on how to grow this crop. It was how we grew it, but It wasn't.
Where did you?
Because I didn't. I didn't go into much detail on the biology and how I didn't go into any detail on how the bean sets fruit, or I didn't go into much detail on like the best season to grow beans. I just said, well, we started. In fact, I definitely would say we started planting at a such time, not because we knew they were going to grow well, but because we're trying to meet a market. So we want to have beans for that first market. So a lot of our crops, as you know, the very first, I mean, some crops we didn't even have for the first market, because they just, to have had them for the first market, you would have had to have planted them definitely before they would have done well. In fact, the spinach won't even hardly come up in the heat. So there's no way we could have spinach early, because it just wouldn't even grow early.
Do you remember who the audience was for the way you were writing it? Like, were you
the Florida State Horse Society.
Okay.
It was for this Horticulture Society.
So you said that, right?
They had a meeting. You go and present the paper, which means you do the PowerPoint, and then you submit your written article. They had an editorial people. So one guy has to read every single paper, the chief editor. But so two people basically read the paper. The guy in the vegetable crops section usually always had 25 papers. So the editor for the vegetable, and for many years it was the same guy, Dr. LoCascio, who actually was my major professor. Dr. Cantliffe was my major professor, but Sal LoCascio was on my committee. So basically my master's paper document kind of had to be approved by all of them, even though Cantliffe is the main one. And so LoCascio was older than Cantliffe, but so even after LoCascio retired from being a professor, he's still a member of the Florida State Horse Society. So I guess I'm sure he didn't get paid for it, but he was the editor for the vegetables section for several years, and so he would make, so he reads the paper, makes comments on corrections, and some of them are legitimate grammatical, maybe grammatical stuff, but he would also sometimes have issue with, well, again, you know, just English stuff, like be consistent, just consistently stay in the past tense, stuff like that, maybe.
Oh, so
and then he definitely, and he went through my master's thing pretty carefully too. So he was definitely, and I appreciate that. You know, you want a good editor.
If that gets criticized by somebody else, a lay reader, some basic observable mistake, that reflects on the editor.
Yeah.
Because I was in a situation where somebody asked me to edit.
But people may not realize, you know.
And I had to open up. I felt compelled to actually open up like website pages on proper English, so that I would be the last word. Because if he gave it to me and I edited it, and somebody else finds problems, then it's kind of like I'm superfluous. Why even give it to him? Because he didn't catch these, we'll just give it to the person who found out.
So again, the Florida State Horse Society, and again, you know, the captions, the way the table title is written, the captions, the headings for your data in the table, whether, you know, they have their own rules. Do you write out ounce or do you abbreviate it? What's acceptable? So they want everything to be consistent. Do you dollars per acre, is it all right to put dollar per A, or do you need to write out acre? So all these little things.
Yeah.
But I have that set of, it's all written out on the acceptable stuff. So he's there to be sure you followed it. And I tried to follow it, but sometimes I just messed up. And no problem with me. I mean, yeah, that's what he's there for, is to correct and make the corrections. So that you'd go through that, maybe he'd send it to me, but I've got to correct it myself. He's not going to correct it for me. Then I'd send him the corrections back, just email. He'd read it again, and maybe he now comes up with even additional or whatever. And so you go through that maybe once or twice. But then the editor, so there's like six sections of Florida State Horse Society. All the sections didn't have 25 papers, but the citrus section maybe definitely had 25, maybe even 30 papers. So this guy's reading probably at least 120 papers.
Wow.
But he's still a full-time employee. And again, I think all of the editors My guess were probably University of Florida employees. I'm not positive of that, but it probably were. But I still remember, and Mommy knows the guy, because remember Ed Exabaria, baby?
No.
So he was the bearded guy. He knew you, though. You went enough times that he knew you.
Where?
Florida State Horse Society meeting. He was the big editor for several years.
Oh.
But you know what?
Too many people.
It's a really, in a way, it's a nice position. You learn quite a bit, right? You're reading all these scientific papers.
That's a good point.
The downside, though, is, like Lacasio, the vegetable editor, he's not necessarily reading for knowledge or content. He's reading.
He could be scanning for the errors and maybe not.
Exactly. So, and even all these times that I would reread it myself, a lot of times I'm just looking at sentence structure. Before I actually even submitted a thing, I'm not necessarily reading for knowledge. So there's a lot of these papers that I may not really fully realize the information that's there because I'm just trying to write, be sure the sentence structure is right and all this stuff is right. So,
do you think you remembered some of it though?
Oh, for sure.
When I edited I still kind of
directly. I have
because I had to focus on it so hard.
So since I was a member of the society, they print a proceedings. It's actually a volume, and then at some point, they just start sending out a CD, which means you just have to print this stuff. But I have in either one way or the other, I have copies of everything that went through Florida State. And then when when you were trying to get your, well, when you applied to teach in Withfield, did you cite as a reference any of your Florida State papers? I can't remember. You didn't. You didn't.
I don't have paper.
Baby, your name is on several papers. Quite
Jeez,
a few
that's
of them.
You.
Baby, but your name is on it. You were part of the process. Baby, anything your name is on, you can cite. Gee.
Yes, you know what?
You can.
Well, but anyway.
Daniel's name is even on a couple of them, I think. Cause
apply what position?
Florida, baby, just any position. It's. You could list it as, but you're right. A resume is like, no.
Immediately wanted me, but I couldn't say
The resume is like
is
a succinct 2-page thing. You don't want the resume to be too long, right? Your resume is very succinct detail. But on the application, if they ask, do you have any published works, then why not list everything?